The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 4 podcast.
And we welcome you back. For those of you watching on the network, you saw a promotion for tonight's SEC story, No Experience Required, about the 12th man at Texas A&M. And that makes perfect sense for us to welcome in our next guest. He is Jackie Sherrill, the legendary player at Alabama and head coach at Pittsburgh and, of course, Texas A&M and later at Mississippi State. Coach, it's always great to see you. I remember seeing you, it seemed like yesterday, it was about a year ago, with your grandkids out in at Kyle Field. And I hope since then you've been doing well. Good afternoon.
Well, thank you, Paul. A pleasure to be on. Matter of fact, I'm with my grandkids. I've got two boys, 16, 18, and then three little girls, 6, 3, and 8 months.
Well, there's so many things I want to talk to you about, but let's talk a little bit about what we're going to see tonight on the network here about the 12th man. And I'll just get out of the way because you're the one that played such a big role in what is such an incredible institution now in college athletics.
Paul, the 12th man kickoff team, I was going by the bonfire, and I stopped one night. I started working on the bonfire with the students, and when I saw them pass the red pots, that's when I said, there's 40,000 students. I can find 11 guys, 10 plus the kicker, to cover kickoffs and train them to cover kickoffs. We had 252 that signed up the first night, and we whittled that down to going through different drills. We allowed 40 to come out for spring, and then we cut that to 20 to come out in the fall. And it was very, very competitive, but they ended up being a great group. Their average was 12.5 for 5 years, and 2 years they were number one in the country in kickoff coverage. But I wish I was smart enough at that time to understand how important the student body was to Texas A&M success on the football field. What it did is brought the student body to the football field and our football team to the student body. And it made a big difference, changed the culture, and helped us make Kyle Field at that time one of the hardest and toughest places to play.
Such an amazing story, and I hope people will watch tonight. The whole story is spelled out. Speaking of Kyle Field, Coach Sherrill, let me ask you about this year's edition of the Aggies, because they have surprised many, many people. Your view of this really amazing story this year.
Well, I think Jimbo has worked very hard. He's changing the culture of Texas A&M, meaning, you know, football is not an easy game. It's a very physical game. And you really win the game as we know, up front. And what Jimbo has done with the up front people, offense and defense, has given them an opportunity to be much better. And you look what they're doing defense, especially against the rushing game, but also offensively and protecting the quarterback, Kellen Mond.
Talking to the legendary coach, Jackie Sherrill. Coach, every coach of your era and today has experienced difficult times, but I'm curious from a little bit of perspective on your hand, what your thoughts are on not only of what A&M has done this year, but the entire world of college football playing under particularly difficult circumstances every week. It's a chess match and a jigsaw puzzle to where the game gets in or not, who plays, who doesn't. Your view on all of this?
Well, my hat's off to not only the coaches, to the players, but to the administration. Paul, you understand, I mean, you're in the business. You know what the protocols are that you have to go through. But if you can imagine that for the players having to go through the protocols every day, and the players and the coaches not knowing, and all of a sudden somebody out and bringing the virus back in. So it's extremely difficult for all coaches, all players, all administrators to be able to make sure 100%, but it changes. One day you may have a player, same thing when you look at Clemson, here's your best player, all of a sudden is out for two games. So the adjustments that you have to make are different than you've ever had before in the game as a coach.
We'll take a break. We have a lot more to do on the program, and we hope you'll stick around.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-hour energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5hourenergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5hourenergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
You're not worth a flip.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand-name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/Paul. That's Hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. Hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
And we welcome you back and really appreciate Coach Sherrill joining us. We mentioned the news about Wisconsin and Minnesota this weekend effectively knocking Wisconsin out of any faint hope, and it was really a narrow hope. But Minnesota has paused its activities with COVID cases in their program. 9 athletes and 6 staffers. So another reality of today, and the game is off, and it's just too bad. Minnesota's been having a pretty rough season. Remember last year they had a really good year under P.J. Fleck, knocked off Auburn in a bowl game. But these games cannot be made up, and that's because the Big Ten decided to punt the season on August 11th and come back in late October. We appreciate Coach Sherrill. He just sent me a note apologizing, but we'll try that again some other time. Let's get to Mitch in South Carolina. Hey, Mitch, you're on the air.
Good afternoon. Good evening, Mr. Feinbaum.
Thank you, Mitch.
First off, I want to say you have a wonderful person in your young lady that screens your calls. She is so friendly. But one of my points I wanted to make is to the person from who supports A&M. I'm a Clemson fan through and through. If there's any program in the past 6 years that could compare themselves to Alabama, it might be Clemson. But Clemson's not even worthy to carry Alabama's dirty towels. Alabama is where they are because of who they are. And he needs to notice that it's not Alabama fans that are calling in. It's other teams' fans that are defending Alabama. Now, my question to you, Mr. Feinbaum, if you don't mind me asking.
No.
Where is the tree that all the top-level coaches grow on. Evidently, all these programs that want to fire their coaches must know of some fantastical tree that the top coaches grow on, because the last time I checked, most of the top coaches have a job.
Yeah, I think some of this is overdone. It's a good point, Mitch. Dabo Sweeney is one of the most successful coaches in America. He came from...
It would take $10 million or more to get him.
Yeah. I've never seen an industry where more bad decisions are made on an annual basis than college coaching. But, you know, the biggest reason you have that is because of the world we live in with social media and shows like this. I'll go ahead and admit it. Athletic directors are making instantaneous decisions, and they're also not dealing. It's not like the two of us are friends and we have a family business that we're spending our own money. They're not spending their own money. So if we decide or they decide to give Jeremy Pruitt a contract extension, so what if it costs $10 million or $15 million? That's not their money. So if the two of us were trying to decide whether to keep someone on our staff, we'd think long and hard before we made a big investment.
You're right. And you say it all the time. Well, if you fire so-and-so, who are you going to replace him with? Now, I got one more question real quickly, if you don't mind.
Sure.
Put your Nick Saban hat on.
Okay, I've got one here.
If Nick Saban were put in the position that Dabo was put in Saturday, let's say Alabama traveled to Kentucky, basically a done deal win, but he needed to show his players off since the last game they played, how would Nick Saban react?
I think he would have reacted the same way. I can tell you, Mitch, I've seen Dabo eviscerated from one end of this country to the other. I am still trying to figure out and find out what he said that was wrong. Now, he has thrown some fuel on the fire since then, which is quintessential Dabo Sweeney. And I frankly don't blame him. I mean, we're not talking about Duke here. We're talking about Florida State. That was the program that he had to knock off to become the king of the ACC. So I was on with Stephen A. Smith earlier, and I gave my take on Dabo, and he completely agreed with me because, and he said the same thing. Dabo just spoke the truth, and Dabo's not concerned what Florida State's administration thinks. He's concerned what his administration thinks and what his fan base thinks, and most important, what his players believe and think.
Exactly. And he just wants to show what they're capable of after the last game.
Yeah, and I, you know, a couple of months ago, I might have been a little more outraged, but, I mean, things are right now, Mitch, people are just doing whatever they want to do. There's I read today where, there's an NFL game Thursday night, and I think 9 players have tested positive. The game's still on. We are not operating in the same mode that we were. Maybe we should, but we're not. Back in the spring when we all were freaking out. By the way, in no way am I suggesting recklessness. I'm not. I'm only responsible for what I do. I'm not responsible for anyone else in terms of, where they go and where they travel. People have to take their own risk, but, it's not like Clemson doesn't have COVID protocols. They do. They're tested constantly. And that guy did not, the guy on the plane, had just gotten through testing negative.
I appreciate the fact that you defended Dabo today. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
And if I don't speak to you again, you and your wife and all your staff have a wonderful, happy Thanksgiving.
Thank you, Mitch. You too. We will be here tomorrow. I know a lot of folks are heading out, and we'll be here. And we will not be here Thursday. Maybe we should be. But we will be here Friday. So it's a mostly normal week. But I realize I can just look around as I'm driving around, walking around. People are home and and visiting with their families and going places, so be careful. Let's continue with more phone calls. And Jackson is up next. Hey, Jackson, you are on the air. How are you?
Hey, Paul. I have a question about the job opening at South Carolina. Do you think that Steve Sarkisian would possibly leave for a big job like that, or would he stick around and stay under Saban like a lot of people are saying that Josh McDaniels did with the Colts at the Patriots?
It's a tough call to make. And you know, I can't, you know, look through the prism of Steve Sarkisian, but I mean, I think ultimately you want to be a head coach and you have to be honest about what are your prospects. He's very hot right now. He may be heading toward a national championship, which would be the final part of the reclamation project. And I don't say this to be disrespectful, but I mean, he was a very hot coach in 2013, 2014. He went from Washington to SC, and then it all came crashing down, and he's built himself back up. He was at the Falcons. It didn't work out. He's been at Alabama, and it's worked out incredibly well. So, you know, he needs to be careful, but you also have to be cognizant of, okay, I'm on a roll right now. It's like if you invest in the stock market, do you sell high or do you keep riding the wave and determine that they're brighter, that you're going to keep this rally will continue? I mean, nobody ever knows.
I have one more question.
Sure.
What do you think about Billy Napier? Do you think that he's possibly a candidate for this job?
Yeah, I think Billy Napier I would say right now the two names that I've heard, and I'm not in Columbia, but the two hottest names are Billy Napier and Shane Beamer. And Beamer seems to have caught the fancy of a lot of former players and boosters. Napier, I think, is a very safe choice. He's got the ties, his backstory, and he's proven that he can coach. So, the only thing about Beamer, I don't know. You never know when somebody has not been a head coach. And I know every time somebody says something like that, another person will come back and say, well, everybody had to be a head coach for the first time. True. But they don't have to be a head coach for the first time at South Carolina.
Yeah. Well, thanks, Paul. Thank you for letting me be on the show.
Thank you.
I'm a big fan of yours. I've watched the show for years now. And thank you for letting me be on the show.
Well, it's a pleasure to have you, and you have a great holiday. Thank you. Hank is up next in Texas. Hey, Hank.
Hey, Paul. Hey, Paul, how are you doing?
I am doing well. Thank you.
Good. Hey, I just wanted to ask you a question. You're the best in the business. You're so respected. And how's it feel to be so universally respected and loved by your fellow colleagues and I guess your listeners?
Well, the thing that I care the most about are people like you. I've never tried to be that popular among colleagues because my goal as a writer first and as a talk show host later is to be here for the people that consume the show. So I'm humbled that you would make that statement, but I also know from this industry that what today may bring could change tomorrow, depending on what the next thing I say is.
For sure. Hey, real quick on the, I think his name was Mike from the Texas A&M fan. A few callers have talked about that, but I'm not sure if he works at Burger King and bet his salary on that or whatever, but I think it's Whataburger. But I think he should have a DNA test. I think he's 75 or more percent collie. I mean, I love the A&M people. I'm 45 miles from College Station, but, it's like, hey, get a reality check.
And tonight will be interesting. It won't be declarative, but I am trying to find A&M's path to the playoff. And
that's what I was about to ask you.
Yeah, and I think for them to get in, they are going to need some help. They are going to need obviously Alabama to win. That would be number one, because they don't need Florida winning against Alabama. Another scenario they could use is Notre Dame losing to North Carolina this week, and then have Notre Dame get knocked out by Clemson, because you know they are not going to in a game of chess, they are not going to trump either one of those scenarios. The SEC champ is.
Oh, that's funny. I get the Trump deal. That's funny.
Well. You can now use that phrase without having political undertones.
All right, man. Thank you for taking my call. You're the best.
Oh, that's man. Thank you so much. I'm Ann on this Tuesday afternoon. I've lost track of what time it is.
Yeah, you know, this is a crazy week. Now, you'll be on the air tomorrow, right?
Yes, we will.
And then you'll be off Thursday, and then you'll be back Friday.
Friday. You got it.
But see, ladies and gentlemen, that's real simple. I hope you understood that, people. I mean, it's real simple. He's working tomorrow. He's off. Then he's back Friday. It's real simple. You know, Paul, I listen to your program. And when I'm at home, I can watch it on TV.
Right.
You've got a crackpot staff there. I tell you what.
We
not
do.
Only does the audio and the, I mean, everything y'all doing is just on top of things. And I noticed we've only got 13 coaches on your little promo with all the coaches, you know, showing walking and coaching and all that kind of stuff. Boy, y'all edited that one guy out quick. I'm talking about, you know, of course, Muschamp.
Yeah, no.
He's no longer in your little feature.
I didn't realize that.
What have you done for me lately? I mean, y'all mean it.
No, we take your name down as they're issuing the press release.
And I tell you, it didn't take long. And you know what? You don't even miss it. You didn't put no filler in there. I mean, I'm not exactly sure how you did that, but I'm sure you compressed it.
I did. No, I must tell you, I did. Usually, when the beginning of the show comes on, I'm so nervous I can't even look at the monitor to see what's going on. So I didn't realize that, but I'm sure.
One thing's for sure, your picture's still there.
Yeah, no.
And your name. And
hey,
your
by the way, if I was replaced tonight, you they wouldn't change the backdrop. They'd just be a big X over my name.
Paul, we love you. And listen, you know, we got a little football game coming up this weekend, and I'm sure we'll be talking about it a lot more on Friday. But anyway.
What would I give I-Man for that Pat Smith Iron Bowl montage? Remember that one?
Absolutely, absolutely. And a few other callers, you know, that are no longer with us in their takes and input. I mean, you know, this year has been, I guess it's the COVID and the whole thing, but it's just been a weird year to just get totally immersed into the college football thing. Now, I tell you, last week, because Auburn and Alabama were playing, it was a great day of football from 11 to 11. PM, but I don't know. It's just, it just feels technically different.
Thanks for the call very much, and talk to you some more. Everything about this year is different, and I'm no longer using the 2020 cliche, because I mean we've overdone it. But we all yearn for. I was on a call today with some people, and they said when things get back to normal. We're getting close. We're not there yet, but I think we are getting closer to that. We'll take a break. More to come. 30 minutes remaining right after this.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8. SAVE. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, SAVE. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
You're not worth a flip.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN Pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN Pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, we welcome you back. Pat is up next in Wyoming. Pat, thanks for being here, and how are you?
Oh, hey, Paul. I'm glad to get on. This is the first time I've ever tried to call, and I just want to thank you for making my time go shorter on some of these long, winding Wyoming roads.
Oh, thank you. I'm glad you found us.
Yeah, and Paul, I got just a couple of questions I'd like to ask you. One is, if we can get COVID behind us, what do you see for the 2021 college football season? Did we lose momentum, or does it pick up where it ended last year? Or what do you foresee for 2021 if we can get the COVID behind us again, Paul?
Yeah, I think if we get to a reasonably high vaccine level and it's successful, I think we'll just pick it up. I think there'll be some people that are reluctant, but I think there's going to be such a desire to return to normalcy. And I know some people thought they were going to get that this year. And I'm not saying they're not. I mean, you go to a football game, you're still enjoying it. But everything is cumbersome right now, whether you're traveling or going to the mall. And, I think the next couple of weeks are going to be the most treacherous. So once we get on the other side of it, I think people are going to be chomping to get back to anything that reminds them of the way it used to be.
Oh, I agree with you on that. Now, Paul, how about this season here? Was it maybe just a little too ambitious with the possibility of game cancellations, which we're seeing, to maybe even really for our schools to even think about college football playoffs, bowl games, Heisman Trophy winners? I mean, I kind of look at this season maybe at the best as more of an exhibition. I don't know. What's your thoughts on that?
Yeah, Pat, I'll give you somewhat of a nuanced answer. I think until recently it had gone fairly well. I don't know what the next couple of weeks are going to be like, though, because
right.
I know what the predictions are for the country, and they're pretty grim. And I think you're seeing it show up with increased cancellations every week. But I talked to a friend of mine today who's in the middle of it all, and he said, we're just trying to finish. And that's not exactly what you want to do. But I don't know any administrator who didn't think it would be a bumpy roller coaster like road. The only reason I can't give you an absolute answer is if it ends badly, then what I say now is going to be moot. It's not going to have any resonance at all. So I think if it ended today, it's been a pretty good run. I'm not being a doom and gloomer, but the next couple of weeks are going to be a challenge.
Well, and I'm glad the SEC started early. I'm from Iowa originally, and I'm a Big Ten guy, so I was a little disappointed in the whole Big Ten thing earlier in the fall here, but I kind of wish they would have started a little bit earlier. But, you're just pushing the clock.
Pat, the mistake they made is they gave up the best time, really, from about and the SEC couldn't start in September. They were dealing with too many issues. But if you started the season about September 10th, you had 6 to 8 weeks of relatively smooth sailing. Right now, nobody does. And the sport that a lot of people are concentrating on is college basketball. It has been a
right.
It starts tomorrow, and it's already been a mess. And the reason why college basketball is more complex is in football, you can survive an outbreak. In basketball, you can't, because once somebody goes, everybody goes. It's all over.
Okay. Well, hey, Paul, I appreciate your perspective on those questions. And I want you and your wife and family and your staff to have a great holiday, not just Thanksgiving, but Christmas. And we'll try to call you again someday. Thanks
Pat,
a lot for all you do.
You be safe out there on the roads. Thank you very much. Enjoy it. Thank you.
Okay, see you, Paul. Bye-bye.
Enjoyed it a lot. Cat Daddy is up next to bring some Thanksgiving cheer to the table.
Turkey's roasting on an open fire. Cat Cross nipping at my nose. But I got plenty of palmetto moonshine to keep me aglow.
I could use some right now.
Well, I know. After watching the show today, you've been through a lot. But I'm going to tell you, Big Paul, tonight, the show with all of the college football teams announcing is irrelevant. It's irrelevant as the corruption and the voting that just went on in this country. Because everything will change in the next week.
Yeah,
guaranteed that.
You know, I would agree. I want to be a good Samaritan here because I'm involved and, you know, I'm part of the conversation. But I don't expect to be overly entertained tonight.
I don't either. I'm going to watch just for have something to watch. There ain't much else on television. But I think it's all irrelevant. But, you know, the show must go on. And one other thing, Mr. Fine Bob, saying that Tennessee's not going to let Pruitt go.
Well, I don't think so. But, you know, I think sometimes I didn't think Muschamp would go either, by the way.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you what, Mr. Fine Bob. Wish you and your family and all your staff happy Thanksgiving if I don't talk to you until next Friday. And tell Kubiak and all the folks up there, we sure miss them being on the show. Is there any chance of them coming back?
Oh, yeah, they'll be back. Don't worry about that, Cat Daddy. I will tell them, and we'll get them back in front of the camera as soon as we can find them. Squirrel is up next. Hey, Squirrel.
Man, I really appreciate you taking my call, Paul. And, you know, I'm not much of a big fan of interviews. I'm more into listening to callers like Midge and Cat Daddy and those guys. But you had a couple of good ones on today. The John Adams interview was very interesting. And I enjoyed hearing Jackie Sherrill.
Yeah, and by the way, Jackie, I think some people took it the wrong way. I was joking about Jackie you know, being a senior citizen working technology. It's not like I'm really good at it myself. That was more. Yeah. Somebody texted me and said, "I mean, why are you making fun of old people?" I wasn't.
I think Mississippi State was more respected and more dangerous during the Jackie Sherrill era than I think they were during the Dan Mullen era.
Well,
even though Mullen took him to number one.
Jackie.
Agree or what's your thoughts on it?
Jackie got them to the SEC championship game.
Yeah, I mean, I thought they were dangerous back during that time. And again, the John Adams interview, it never gets old hearing that fan base in turmoil. And it's not the first time, but I don't think they're going to fire Pruitt this year. I think they're going to suffer for another year and get rid of them next year.
Well, you know what I heard in that interview, and you did too, Squirrel, because you know that area. I heard a lot of angst coming out over the last 25 years, and some of it was directed at Philip Fulmer. But yeah, I don't think it will happen either. But the season.
It's been a long time since Tennessee's been relevant.
Yeah,
I mean,
I would agree.
Think back on it. I mean, it's been a long time for that program. And so that's why, I don't know, they need to make some changes. I don't know what they are, but
we're
really enjoying the show.
Thank you.
Go ahead.
Yeah, it seems like it's
going to be Thanksgiving if I don't talk to you.
Thanks, Squirrel. It just seems like it's going to be a wipeout of the coaching staff, which is always a way to get the headlines and the attention off the person that sits at the head of the table. We are heading to a break. It's been a fun show. We are officially out of time for this program. We appreciate all of you for being a part of it. Some really interesting guests today. We'll see you right here tomorrow.
Thank you for listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. The Paul Feinbaum Show airs weekdays on the SEC Network beginning at 3 Eastern.